Beautiful. Well, it's great to be together tonight, and just to be able to come together and to encourage each other to we're going to spend some time later in breakout rooms and respond to the message, but to really pray about what we're going to talk about tonight. And it's really cool when you're able to come together like this. And I mean, I'd love to be in person, but at the same time, sometimes it works. And I know for a lot of us, it helps in a way. Guys, tonight we're gonna continue focusing on Jesus. Last week we discussed learning to care like Jesus, seeing how he built better relationships, how he listened, he listened to someone beside himself. How he felt and empathized with others. And then the big one was the action, having compassion towards others, and that it's more than a feeling. And as we follow Jesus's example, we learn how to be more like him. And so tonight we're going to continue to learn, and we're going to look at a episode from Peter's life and see how he learned from Jesus how to try again. And I love this. Back in 2022, it's funny, because of life, there have been words that have been made. And they make new words all the time. And one of the words from Collins Dictionary, and it was actually the word of the year in 2022. The word of the year. And it says here, permacrisis. Permacrisis means an extended period of instability and insecurity, especially one resulting from a series of catastrophic events. And it's like that just kind of grabbed me, and I thought, wow, there's been some catastrophic events in our world here. And one of the spokesmen from Collins Learning, he went on to say that we are in an ongoing state of uncertainty and worry after living through upheaval caused by the pandemic, severe weather, the war in Ukraine, political instability, and just the cost of living. And then just last week, you had an earthquake, and then, aftershocks, and then the solar eclipse, the other day. And it's like living in a permacrisis takes a toll on you and I. It takes a toll on us. And sometimes you can feel tired, you can feel knocked down, you can feel, sometimes Satan's kind of got you got a sucker punch in there. Maybe you and your wife, had a blow up or a bump, and something happened with the car, something happened with the job, something happened, with your purity or whatever, and you get knocked down. And sometimes it can become hard to get back up. For me, sometimes going to a funeral in the morning, having a Bible study in the afternoon, doing a counseling session, at night, it can be extremely draining. And there's this need to just get strength emotionally. But, there's another word that was created during 2022, and it's called quiet quitting. And this is a philosophy of doing no more than the bare minimum at work. You don't leave your job, but you quit going above and beyond. And, when I saw that, I thought, oh my gosh, that can relate so much in our spiritual lives, where it can just seep into areas where we're just like, bare minimum, what do I got to do to just not, to just, get through? And, like I said, it is very easy to slip into that, where that quiet quitting affects our hearts. That quiet quitting affects our faith. And instead of seeing possibilities, we just see problems. Instead of reflecting, we can ruminate on the wrong thing from the past. And it's very easy to quit going above and beyond in our faith, in our love, and in our vision. But guys, one of the things that's so encouraging about the Bible is God has scriptures to help us navigate. This is Proverbs 24:16, the TLB version. Don't you know that this good man, though you trip him up seven times, will each time rise again? But one calamity is enough to lay you low. It is so important that we remember that the righteous man gets up. This good man, other versions say righteous, the godly. And the thing is, God is the one that can help us through any crisis, any calamity, any challenge that may knock us down, even when they come back to back to back, like a permacrisis. He's the one who can help us get up and decide we're going to try it again. But without God, it only takes one challenge to take us down. And like I said, sometimes I don't feel like it. That's a real challenge. And it's in those moments when we really have to go to God and get that help, get that memory, scripture, get that reminder, why am I doing what I'm doing? Get that perspective. Okay, the enemy is trying to do something here. And so as men of God, and as we are going to learn here from Peter's life, it's so important that our external circumstances don't determine what we decide to do, but that our faith and our love and our relationship with God is what moves us and guides us. I'm going to start over here in Luke chapter 5, if you could turn there with me. Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at Peter. And if there's someone who is an incredible example of failing spiritually, but Peter's the guy. He had a bunch of failures. He had a bunch of mistakes. He spoke, too quickly, putting his foot in his mouth. But in spite of all of that, Jesus says, you're going to have the keys to the kingdom. In spite of all of that, he says, you are the rock. You know, he changed his name from Simon to Peter. And I want you in my inner group here. And so he learned from Jesus. And so, like, if you read the Peter from the Gospels to the Peter who wrote First and Second Peter, he's a completely different man. And so I want to look at a key moment in his life and again learn from him how he found the willingness to try again. First, Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 says, one day as he was preaching on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats standing at the water's edge while the fishermen washed their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out a little into the water so he could sit in the boat and speak to the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets and you will catch a lot of fish. Sir, Simon replied, we have worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again. And the first point here I want to point out is seeing problems to seeing potential. See, Jesus was very intentional in what he did. It wasn't a by chance that he picked Simon's boat to use to speak to the crowd. He knew that Simon had experienced failure, but he also knew that he could help Simon see his potential. And so Simon listens to Jesus's message. Jesus's lesson that day didn't make it into the biblical, to the Bible, because, again, I don't know exactly why, but Simon had he had some weariness going on. He was internally tired. And you know, that comes from putting everything you have into something and still coming up with nothing. It says that he worked all night, but still his nets were empty. And then when Jesus told Simon to try one more time to catch fish, he knew what was at stake was more than fishing. It was Simon's heart and faith that he was really going after. Brothers, let me ask you, what are your empty nets? What are your empty nets? What are the things that you have poured your life, blood, sweat into that have come back with a different result than you'd hoped for or dreamed of? You know, it could be in our marriage. It could be in our families. It could be in our businesses. Our kids, sometimes they make, you know, choices that we didn't want them to make, but they make them. You know, it could be the realization that, hey, this dream, this idea of what I thought I'd be doing when I thought I would be doing it is not come to fruition. It could be that, oh, I thought I was going to be quote unquote successful. And however you're defining that, and you're allowing that to rob you of joy. Or maybe it could be that special someone that you hope would be the one. And now she's dating someone else. So she's maybe even married to someone else. Brothers, those moments bring up painful feelings. They bring up painful feelings of disappointment. They bring up painful feelings of inadequacy. And the truth is, the way that we deal with these negative emotions can shape our relationship with God. as we move forward. You know, we cannot avoid and prevent the pain in life from happening. In fact, God allows things to happen because he's trying to help us develop something. You know, sometimes we can become so negative, and what we see is just problems. We see the problems with the church. We see the problems with the world. We see, and we're just great at pointing out the problems. And you know what? I'm with you. I know I can struggle with that and not smell the roses and realize, yeah, we got some issues, but it's not that bad. But see, we have to decide that when those challenging emotions, when those negative things happen, that it should push us closer to God. That it should cause us to bow down, to humble ourselves. Because God is constantly wanting us to understand and realize, I mean, a lot of things, but one thing is, I can't deal with this on my own. God, I need your help. Or I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be frustrated. I want to be used by you. And I want to learn from this situation. Psalm 61, verse 2. It says, from the end of the earth, I call to you. When my heart is overwhelmed and weak, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a rock that is too high to reach without your help. See, the psalmist tells us God leads us to a place that is too high for us to reach alone. And we must have God to help lift us up, get us to that point, get us over that obstacle. Because again, no amount of effort or climbing on our own is going to achieve that. See, we have to be willing to try again and come to that place where we stop trying to make it happen. We stop trying to push and use, you know, maybe some of our wisdom and experience to make something happen. But understand, God is leading us to places that are going to cause us to humble ourselves and reach out to him for help, for trust, and for reliance on him. You know, it's not that Jesus had some different fishing strategy or methodology to fill Simon's empty nets. It was simply Jesus's presence in the boat and Simon's willingness to say these words that made the difference. But if you say so, we'll try again. Are you with me, brothers? Let's say that together. If you say so, we'll try again. If you say so, we'll try again. See, Peter had the potential and then later the faith to change the world. And we see that in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10. But at this time, he didn't need that level of faith. He just needed the faith and willingness to try one more time. One more time. And see, Jesus saw the potential in Peter, and that was all he needed. He knew how to take that potential and turn it into faith. And see, we may not have the faith right now to change the world, but Jesus sees that potential in you and in me. What we need to do is just, we need to have that faith and willingness that Peter had to tell God, if you say so, I'll try again. You know, for some of us, that's just allowing someone into our world to help us as we are developing, to drop the pride or drop the insecurity or whatever, to say, hey, bro, help me out. Because I'm struggling here, struggling there. You know, it's that fear of, I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing, even though I don't know what I'm doing. It's like, let's get past all of that. And let's allow God to work the way he wants to. Again, what's your empty nets? What's the things you've poured your life into that haven't turned out the way you hoped for? See, what is God wanting you to try just one more time? Some ideas might be having the faith to try again with engaging with our kids. Some might be just praying for our kids, believing that God is working, even though it doesn't seem like it. But I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. Maybe it's forgiving our spouse. Maybe it's repenting of, you know, that sin that keeps nagging you. Maybe it's that anger or selfishness. Maybe it's loving a friend. Sometimes we put our hearts out there for people, and man, they just slap us with maybe disrespect, or they don't respond or whatever. And we got to decide, I'm going to keep loving. Maybe again, it's our neighbor that I'm not going to stop being the disciple that God calls me to be. What is it for you? Secondly, from ruminating to reflecting. Let's go back or back. Let's go to verse 6. It says, at this time, their nets were so full that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. You gotta put yourself here. Imagine what's happening. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, sir, please leave us. I'm too much of a sinner for you to have around. Brothers, when Simon Peter realized what he had just witnessed and the power Jesus had, he was puzzled. He was stunned. And immediately, all of his weaknesses, all of his sins, seemed like it just struck him and shook him. And he was so overwhelmed that he asked Jesus to leave him alone. Have you ever felt that way? I don't deserve it. You see yourself, you see, or just your heart. You see that jealousy, you see that envy, you see that pride. You see it. And you can start feeling bad about what you see, rather than reflecting on the weaknesses and the sins. It's an opportunity for us to learn and actually grow closer to God. But I think God sometimes, he allows these things for us to really, again, get humbled to the fact that we can't do this on our own. See, ruminating is recycling old thoughts of what went wrong, right? Lamenting past choices, overanalyzing disappointments. It's very self-focused. It steals your faith, and it leaves you filled with regret. You know, another way to say that? Worldly sorrow. Where reflecting, on the other hand, is looking for new insights from God that can help you change and get better. See, this type of curiosity leads to an outward focus, growing faith. It's a godly kind of sorrow. Reflecting makes you and I glad to see our weaknesses because we want to identify anything that gets in the way of us having the kind of relationship with God that we want to have. See, ruminating on my failures and disappointment, that leads me to push away people and to push away God, just like Simon did in this passage. Where, when you stop and you think about it, right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. What does the Bible say? He says, God is light. Brothers, the closer we get to God, think about this. The closer we get to God, the more we're going to see our sin and our weaknesses. But isn't that where we want to be? Don't we want to be close to God? Don't we want to have this, oh, all, you know, I think Ted talked about that a few weeks ago, not losing that awe that I can be who I am and God still loves me and wants me to come and serve him and be his man. You know, sometimes seeing weakness, it's not a bad thing, but reflecting on our weakness and sin, it can actually help us see our need for God. It can help us create a desire to draw closer to him out of gratitude for his mercy and for his kindness. See, Jesus helped Simon Peter work through these feelings about his sin by showing him that he still had a great purpose for his life, and that Peter would, in fact, do more to change lives than he could ever dream of. That's what Jesus did for him. And that's what Jesus will do for us. But let me ask you, do you spend more time ruminating or reflecting? See, what does God want you to explore in your heart that can help you find that purpose that he has for you? Think about that. Next scripture. Go down to verse 9. Luke 5, verse 9. It says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and says, oh, sir, please leave us. I'm too much of a sinner for you to have around. For he was awestruck by the size of their catch, as was the others with him. And his partners too, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus replied, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for the souls of men. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and went with him. Brothers, what is fear causing you? I want to ask you to put some things in the chat. When you feel fear, what is it causing you? What does it create in you? Let's talk about this for a minute. Let me see where this chat is at. What is fear causing you? Let's see what we got here. Anxiety. Yeah, doubt, insecurity, distance, insecurity, overthinking, uncertainty. Yeah. Trap, defensiveness, grief, yeah. Procrastinate, frustration, right? Inaction, yes. Yes. Guys, you know, and we could go on and on, but there's something about fear that makes me feel pressured personally. I can feel pressured when I'm afraid. I can start overthinking and, oh man, what should I do? And fear is powerful because sometimes you don't even realize it. Let me go here. Psalm 51, verse 16. This is the Message version. Carlito read a great scripture there in the welcome. But listen to what it says, Psalm 51, 16 in the Message version. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart shattered lives ready for love don't for a moment escape God's notice. That is a great passage. See, David understood a basic quality of God's. He doesn't want a performance out of us, but instead, a heart ready for love. Jesus wanted to pass this viewpoint on to Peter, telling him what we need to hear today. God still has a purpose for you and for me. And part of that purpose is to love others. No matter how well we feel that we've performed, love others, love one another. See, God has a purpose for us, and He can still use us to change people's lives. In fact, sometimes, brothers, the pain of failure and difficulty can become the source of strength to live the purpose that God has, that He has for us. See, this was the case for Peter. He would go on to become one of Jesus's closest friends, only to turn his back on him at the cross when he really needed him. And see, Jesus knew that Peter's betrayal would lead to a greater purpose because of what he says here in this passage. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 32 in the voice version. Jesus says to Peter, "But I have prayed for you." He's talking about how Satan's going to sift you like wheat. "I have prayed that your faith will hold firm and that you will recover from your failure and become a source of strength for your brothers." Guys, think about that. We can't fail. We can only learn from life and use those things to elevate Christ. We're not failures. No, we may fail at something. We may, but it's never fatal, but it's always an opportunity to learn so that you can turn and you can teach somebody else. Know, back in 1998, no, end of 97, I remember when Sari and I were taken out of the full-time ministry, and I didn't see it coming. And I remember feeling like a failure, feeling that I had let God down, that I didn't do enough for his people there in Jersey City. And we failed. And I remember having a conversation with a friend, and he said, "Russ," he said, "you got to tell yourself this. When those thoughts come, You did not fail and you did not waste your time. And I had to remember that because those times and those moments would come. Would we be at a devotional or something? And I'm seeing all the folks that we used to, serve. And you didn't fail. You didn't waste your time. And for the next 8 years, I worked a secular job and I learned a lot. I learned a lot about what the average Joe Christian married brother is dealing with and taking care of his marriage and taking care of his kids and paying his mortgage and paying a bit. And bro, that was one of the most greatest lessons that I learned is how to relate and how to understand where people are coming from. And it was so helpful. And Satan didn't have a victory. And again, thank God for the preteen and young teen ministry, because God helped work on my heart. Because back then it was all about, oh yeah, who are you out doing? And it was very competitive and worldly. And man, when you're serving people who barely say please and thank you, that can be really tough. But it's also a great training tool for why you do what you do. And I remember telling, one of the young guys just yesterday, I said, that was so helpful for me because I just wanted to do what I did when I first started. I just want to serve God and serve people. And I'm not looking to get something from it. I don't want the pat on the back. I don't want, oh, bro, you're so awesome. And all. I just wanted to help people. And somehow that motivation got messed up with the preteen and young teen going to camp and serving, that week in the summertime. But more than that, just seeing some of these kids today, they're in their 30s. Some are married, some are professionals, some are, just growing up is such a joy. Because the first thing they say when we see each other is, man, I remember stuff they remember that I don't remember anymore. It's just gratifying, in a way that your efforts are not in vain. But brothers, you may have thoughts of, man, this didn't go well, or I had a, tough time in this or that. You may even be feeling like, my best days are behind me. I want to remind you, God is not done with you. God is not done with me. In fact, our best days are before us, but we have to continue to try again. We have to continue to remember who we belong to. Who are we? See, God might use your difficulty to help you see clearer why you're here and what your purpose is. It's so great to see guys, finding their niches and understanding, wow, God allowed me to go through this, and now I'm helping people with the very thing that I was struggling with. Yeah, that's it. But we got to continue to make a decision. I'm going to try again. Problems to potential, ruminating to reflecting, pressured to purpose. Seeing how Jesus helped Simon walk through this area in his heart and gave him faith that God is not finished with you. In fact, he's got amazing plans for you. God and Jesus can do the same thing for us. No matter what the condition of our faith is, No matter if we've been, reading our Bibles, little God can help us where we're at and get us to where He wants us to be. And we can be men that are doing things that we never thought we could do if we're willing to try again. And so, brothers, with that, we're going to break up. Rob's going to create some random breakout rooms. And let's share for a little bit and then spend, 10, 15 minutes praying and, be conscious of, the others in your group. But let's remember, God's not done with us. Our best is before us. We have to just make that decision that Peter made. We're going to try again. Amen.